Well, welcome to our study of Joshua. We're going to begin taking a look at this book this evening. Now, if you have your study guide, follow along with us. And you're going to see here that as we go through the book of Joshua, this book really describes the conquest of Israel and the division of the land in Canaan, which is the promised land. And the process of the various conquests and the dividing of the land, throughout all this that's described in the book of Joshua, we're going to see that God himself remains the central figure. He's the focus here, even throughout their conquest. Now, taking a look at the introduction here, Joshua is considered to be the author of this book, even though his death is recorded in the last chapter of Joshua, similar to how we talked about Moses being attributed with being the author of the Pentateuch, even though his death was recorded. Now, we see through some research that Pete has done that it is believed that the time period covered in the book of Joshua is about 25 years from 1400 B.C. to 1375 B.C. The book of Joshua is named for Moses' successor, Joshua the son of Nun. You guys remember reading about that, don't you, in Numbers? And we also read about it in Deuteronomy. Joshua is actually called Hoshea or Oshea, and we've got some references there in Numbers for you to take a look at with that. You see it in the genealogy there. Joshua served as Moses' minister and the leader of Israel's army. And you can find in Exodus 24:13, where he was Moses' minister. Joshua was also one of the 12 spies who went in to observe and report on the land that God had promised the nation of Israel. So Joshua and Caleb, if you'll remember, they were the two that gave the good report that said, we can take this land that God has promised us out of those 12. God chose Joshua to succeed Moses and lead the descendants of Israel into the promised land. And to me, that is so important to recognize that the leadership position, if you will, that Joshua was given was not appointed by a man, but God ordained for him to be in that position. And we're going to find out that he didn't leave anything undone that he was to do. He completed all of his tasks. He finished his course. Before his death, Moses laid hands on Joshua, thereby anointing him as successor. And I want us to go, if that's all right, I want you to turn back to Numbers, and let's just look at that. Look at Numbers 27 with us. And I want you to go, let's look at verse 15. Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, so this is Moses crying out to the Lord, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So Moses' desire was for God to place a successor. Set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So Moses was asking for a shepherd for the sheep of Israel, right? Metaphorical there. In verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. And at his words shall they go out, and at his words shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So this man, Joshua, was set by God himself. But we know, as a minister to Moses, Joshua was with him all the time, basically. He was his right-hand man. When Moses went up on the mount, Joshua was there with him. In fact, you can look, and you probably remember reading in Exodus chapter 33. If you go to Exodus 33, verse 11, we have a description of Moses and the Lord's relationship. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And then he turned again into the camp. So Moses left from the presence of the Lord. But look what Joshua did. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So Joshua was familiar with being in the presence of the Lord. He learned from Moses. Dare I say, he learned from the Lord.
Let me just bring this out about Joshua. It's easy to overlook it. Number one was he was from the tribe of Ephraim. And when in Numbers, the 13th chapter, where the spies were selected, one from each tribe, I think it's called Hoshea there, whom Joshua called the son of Nun, I believe is where it reads. He was a leader, obviously, of his tribe. He is a military leader. And it appears that not only was he the leader of his tribe, but if you think back when they fought against the Amalekites, that Moses was up on the mountain, Aaron and Hur stayed his arm. Joshua was leading the army in the battle. Okay. Now, what interests me is how it says that he comes in and he goes out before. I fully believe that anybody worth their salt, if they're going to lead, should be in front of the people, not behind them or armchair quarterbacking. And you'll find that that's exactly what Joshua did. He went before the people. When you go through this book in all these conquests, Joshua, even though he is the leader of the nation, he's the leader of the army, and he's going out with the army. You understand? He's not saying, you go out and fight for me. He's going out with them.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And see, what we have so often is people that's leading the military, never been in the military. They don't know anything about it. They don't know anything as far as the combat goes. Joshua is one who can relate. You understand? And I appreciate that so much about him. When you think of, Heather mentioned shepherd. Shepherds lead the flock. They do not follow the flock. You don't drive a flock of sheep. You drive cattle, not sheep. You go out before them. And so to me, there's a spiritual principle here with the pastoral ministry. You don't drive people, you lead people. And you don't lead people by following people. Let that sink in. If you're going to lead people in the ways of God, then you're going to have to find out what the ways of God are and not ask the people if they like it. You take them in the way of God, and those who don't like it may go in a different direction, you understand. But you never compromise the ways of God. Joshua would not compromise. He did everything. You're going to see this more than one time. All that he was told to do, he did. He was a leader indeed, by example. You with me? Mm-hmm. And I think we can learn a lot from that today. I've never appreciated somebody trying to tell me what to do when they've never done it. How do you know? You follow me? Joshua was a good example here. We need to pay attention to him. To me, he's one of the most impressive men of the Old Testament because he did everything he was told to do. That's pretty amazing.
It's interesting to me that we see Moses' ministry was to bring the people out of Egypt. And Joshua is to take them in to the promised land. Both equally as important, but different tasks that the Lord has assigned them to. And I was thinking about this morning in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, when Paul's talking in verse 6, he said, I've planted, Apollos water, but who gave the increase? You remember? God gave the increase. I couldn't help but think about Moses and Joshua here, and who's given the increase here? God gives the increase. And to me, I just see the importance of the different functions within the body of Christ and how God will give different people different assignments that will complement one another. Joshua served as Moses' minister, his right-hand man. We don't see that there was any competition at all mentioned, do we, in what we've read about Joshua at all?
Nor was he seeking position.
Exactly. He wasn't seeking position. He didn't ask for to be placed as Moses' successor. But you see that a lot in ministry. People vying for a position. You really see it. It's really quite interesting. But I alluded to the fact of how much time Joshua spent with Moses. And I also was reminded, if y'all want to turn, in Psalm 103, in verse 7, He made known his ways that he, referring to God, made known his ways unto Moses. Do you think Joshua, by chance, would have been privy to those ways? But his acts unto the children of Israel. God knows the hearts of man, all of us today. He knows the hearts of man. And we see here, as Pete mentioned, he completed everything that he was to do. He left nothing undone. And so this man had a heart to complete the assignments that were given to him. Go in, take this land, do this. And one of the conversations that Pete and I had today is just considering Joshua's military experience. Don't you know that he recognized they were fortified cities, those walls were tall, those giants were big? He recognized In the natural, that would be a difficult fight, wouldn't it? But yet, what was his response? This land is good. We got it. Let's take it. Let's go right now. When you've been in the presence of God and you hear God speak, you have the faith to act. Joshua, and since we're talking about spying out the land, Caleb too for that matter, I believe, heard the direction that Moses gave as direction that God was given. They heard God speak, not a man speak. And that's the difference. When you hear God speak, you have faith to act. It's the same thing on Sundays with services. Do you hear a minister, a man speak? Or are you hearing God speak to you? If you hear God speak to you, there'll be a change in your life. You'll have the faith to put that word that's been spoken into action. But if it's just a man, it can be perceived as just instruction or condemnation or whatever you want to put to it, but you don't have the faith to act. So I believe that's why Joshua was so successful in all that he did. He had the faith to do it.
You know, if you look at that, she mentioned Caleb. If you look at these two men, it even specifically states of Caleb, he had a different spirit. Well, obviously, Joshua had a different spirit also. What was that spirit? They had a spirit that pursued the Lord. Everybody else had a spirit that's pursuing the natural things. They're looking at circumstances. They're looking at situations. And we'll get to this later on toward the end of Joshua, but Caleb was like 40 years old when they went in to spy the land. When they get in and make the conquest, and after defeating several cities and all, then Caleb reminds Joshua of what Moses told him because of Caleb's faithfulness. And Caleb said, let's go up at once. They're bread for us. You understand? He was not fearing them. His spirit was connected to God. God said, go in and take the land. Now, we were talking about this today. All Israel saw the Red Sea part. You think that would be impressive? You've never seen that happen, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it'd be really impressive to see the waters part so you could walk over, and as soon as you got over to the other side, the waters come back down and kill the enemy that's chasing you. I think that would be impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you get over there and you don't have water, that you get water either from throwing a branch in contaminated water and it becoming pure, or water out of a rock, or you go out every morning and gather your bread, your manna. All that's supernatural. Think of that, doing that for 40 years. Okay? And so they saw a lot of supernatural things. As she read, they knew the acts of God, Israel. But here, you had the minority that even thought about the ways of God. Said Moses knew his way. You know the ways by being in the presence of God. Moses in the presence of God. Joshua in the presence of God. Not only did Joshua go into the congregation there, the tent of congregation, but he also went up on the mount with Moses, you understand. And he's Moses, as she said, right-hand man, so to speak, okay? And Caleb is right there. Both of these men are military men. Now, here's an impressive thing to me about Caleb. He told Joshua, after they go into the land, he said, Moses told me all this land that I walked on I could have. So he was a leader in Judah, okay? He was one of the spies. Give me the mountain where the giants are. That's where I walk. I want that mountain. I'm 85 years old, and I am just as strong to go out into battle as I was the day I went over into the land. You understand? Pretty impressive. I'll go out and fight at 85. That's what he's saying, and that's exactly what he did and defeated the giants. You understand? And so we have to realize there's, when it's not just a casual thing to say someone has a different spirit. The spirit of the person is determining the determination and direction of that person. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And when a person has the spirit of the Lord, a different spirit, not like the crowd, but different from the crowd, the person that stands out in the crowd, that's the people that get the job done. You understand? And Joshua and Caleb both had different spirits of the people. They weren't fighting against the Lord all these 40 years. They were following the Lord. Now, the problem was they had to walk around that wilderness because of the rebellion of the others. And we're talking about the army. I'm not talking about just the people. I'm talking about the army. The reason they wandered into the wilderness 40 years, that was the punishment against the army. And God said to the army, everyone 20 years old and above in the army will die in the wilderness because the army wouldn't go in and fight chickens. But Joshua and Caleb weren't, yet here they are walking around with the chickens. But they went in and took the land, you understand? I know the Bible doesn't use the word chicken, okay, but you know what I mean. Cowards, how's that? Unbelievers. Afraid to do what God says. That's not any of you, are you? We don't have any chickens in here, no cowards. We hear God, we do what God says, right? Now remember you said that.
The name Joshua, names are important. The name Joshua means Jehovah will save. Joshua serves as a type of Christ. He led his nation into God's promised inheritance.
Yeah. Pointing to the Christian's promised land, right?
Mm-hmm. Something about this. If you look in Hebrews chapter 4, and you look at verse 8, if you're reading King James, it says Jesus, but that was transliteration, should be Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, so even though they were entering into a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They were getting ready to go into a territory and live in houses that they didn't have to build, to take the fruit from vines that they didn't have to plant. They were going to reap the benefits from a land and territory that had already been established. He led them into a promised land, but he couldn't give the spiritual rest that only Jesus can give. So the rest of that verse 8 says, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. And so the other day, the rest being referring to Jesus. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Speaking of Jesus fulfilling the law and we resting in the work that Jesus completed so that we don't have to do that. Jesus is our rest, our Sabbath.
Well, the reason they use Jesus here is You're going from Hebrew to Greek. In Hebrew, Joshua or Jehoshua, when you take that into Greek, the transliteration is Jesus. And so if you were using the name Jesus and going back to Hebrew, it would be Joshua or Jehoshua, okay? And so this will give you some insight into Sabbath in this fourth chapter of Hebrews, comparing Joshua taking the nation of Israel into a land of rest, and Jesus taking us into a land of rest, which simply means he has done the work, and we rest in the work he did. Just as Joshua took the nation of Israel into territory where people had done the work, they had built the houses, they had planted the crops, somebody else did the work, and they enjoy the benefit of the work. Well, Jesus has done the work, and we enjoy the benefit of the work.
That's good.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's a rest. So it's a life of faith, not works. But that first generation didn't want to exercise the faith to go in. Now, it's interesting in that fourth chapter of Hebrews, he says, labor to enter into the rest. You understand? You got to work to overcome those negative thoughts in your mind, the I can'ts. You understand? You've got to get those things under subjection to get you into the rest.
Very good. So with all that said, how about we take a look at the first two verses of Joshua, chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.
Now, thing to remember here, if you think back, God told Moses there at the end of Deuteronomy to go up to the top, Pisgah, and view the land, and then you're going to die. Now, we're told that God buried him. Okay? And so God tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I believe that. Some people say that he didn't die, but it says that he died, and it says that God buried him. Okay? And so he tells Joshua, he said, all right, Moses is dead. Now, I want you to go into the land. I want you to cross over this Jordan. I want you to lead this nation into the promised land. Okay? You're the successor. Lead them into the land. Okay? And I can't overemphasize that. This is a problem. We don't have leaders leading people. We have people in positions of leadership following people. Then you're not the shepherd.
Verse 3.
Go ahead. I won't count down. I could, but I won't.
I know. Okay. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Now think about it. Isn't this what he told Abraham?
Yes.
Everywhere you walk, I'm going to give you that land. This is the land Abraham walked. Now God is telling Joshua that You get in there, you get on that land, you walk it, I'll give it to you. But now note this, he didn't say that you're going to take it without a fight.
Right.
I've given you the land, it's a gift, but it's occupied. Now you're going to have to drive the occupants out of the territory, but I'll be with you. I'll help you. In other words, you can do this thing. And Moses had disobeyed God, so he couldn't go in. So now Joshua has the assignment. You lead these people in there, and you take that land. It's a gift, but take it. There's a lot of people try to steal your gift, you understand? You say, oh, well, it just wasn't for me to have it. If God wanted me to have it, he just put it in my lap. You lazy thing, you. I find God doesn't call lazy people. He wants people with guts and determination to go in and take what God's given them. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. We were actually talking today about Eve in the garden and the approach of the serpent. And I told Heather, this is how she should have responded. The serpent said, did God say?
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is what she should have said. Absolutely, don't even go there with me. It would have been a different outcome, you understand? And we've got to learn to do that. When you get these thoughts, did God really say that? Absolutely, God said it. And so don't go there with me. You with me? You got to get tough against the enemy. You don't win the wars running from him. You go up against. You don't intimidate. You don't get intimidated by the enemy. Intimidate him by doing exactly what God called you to do. I'm not talking about bullying. I'm talking about taking the territory that is yours, rightfully yours. If you give me a gift, then it's rightfully mine, and somebody's trying to take that away from me, and all I do is just, oh, well, you know, I wish you wouldn't do that, but if you do, then okay, you know, I'm supposed to be a doormat that you walk on. No. Being meek is not being weak. You understand? Moses was the meekest man on earth, but I'll promise he wasn't the weakest. Okay? God gives you territory, you take it. I actually had the Lord to say this to me over a situation. I'm not going to go into any detail. But something was going on that shouldn't be going on. And it was bothering me concerning church. I've been asking the Lord, how do I handle this? You can't just, you never react. You have a plan of action. You get your plan of action, and then you execute your plan of action. Reacting can do damage, a lot of damage. And so one morning, one Sunday morning, before I got here, the Lord said, take the authority, don't ask for it. And so, my response to that is, this is the way God wants, and this is what we're going to do. There is no rebuttal to it. If you have a problem, then go before God. You don't need to argue with me. You just go before God. We're going to do what God says. You've got to have that determination or people will lead you away from the vision God told you to fulfill. Moses let the people get to him. That's why he didn't go into the promised land. He let them bring him to the point that he got upset and did a foolish thing. And we've got to get our eyes off people and keep our eyes on God. Otherwise, you're not going to help the people. You're going to have to stay focused on God. If you're going to take people where God wants them to go, then you're going to have to stay focused on God. You're not moving to the left and the right. You're taking a straight course to the Lord. You have to learn to do that. Is everybody going to love you? No. But are you in a popularity contest? Did they love Jesus? Of course not. But did he compromise? Absolutely not. And we're not to compromise the things of God. Okay? I think our time's up here, so we'll take a break and we'll come back to this.